troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to Watchmen Weekly. This is Chris Ardern, your host, and we can be found at www.sounddoctrine.org. And that's Sound Doctrine with one D. And I'm here tonight excited about our show. We've got our old friends Bill and Bob joining us tonight. And we're going to do a roundtable synopsis type show, you know, sharing what we've been seeing individually and together. You know, we still stay in contact all the time. And the Lord just continues to open up His Scripture, His precious Word, in leaps and bounds at sometimes where it's almost too much to contain. But I'm excited about being back with my good dear brothers in the Lord, my dear friends. And with that, I'm going to just pick up the show already in progress.
Did another show today on free will and how they totally misunderstand predestination. It's completely, totally misunderstood. What was predestined and foreordained the elect was the salvation in Jesus Christ, the sanctification process in 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 2. And that's how you're elect. That's how you're God's elect. It's the believers are God's elect, or the believers.
Yeah.
You can't be an elect before you have faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So as soon as somebody hears the word of God, they have the faith to believe in it or not. That's everybody. There's not one person. And they have twisted that, completely twisted and perverted that. And this is Pete Wilson's really caught up in this big time. So, you know, with their understanding, to put it simple, you have to be born again before you're born again.
Oh.
So yeah, I guess I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. It's just crazy where things are right now.
Yeah, I know it.
And now that Billy Graham's in the hospital, if he drops dead, I can just imagine what the church will do around him.
It'll be bigger than the Olympics.
It will be.
Into the rabbit hole week. I'm surprised. I guess the Olympics are over, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, because my wife told me, I said, wow, all that, everything for, what was it, a week or something? Or
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Well, time goes faster than you think. When they had it up here 2 years ago in the Winter Olympics, the whole town went bust, bankrupt Vancouver, and now they're still paying the debt off. And
bring the world in.
Yeah.
Just bring
one of the forums said, they were figuring out how they were conjuring up these demons through the closing ceremony. And somebody just made a comment about the demons are just, you know, rolling at the stuff they're coming up with to try to conjure them up. You know, I mean, it's just, if you know what I'm saying, the thing was just completely evil, but, I don't know, you know, it's still man and still man's devices, so.
Well, of course it's man's devices, right.
You know, whether there's demons, whatever.
Well, there's the devil. A devil, well, devils. You want to know the definition of devils?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Demonic being, by extension, a deity.
Uh-huh.
Devil.
With a little D.
And it's a god that's a little d. Now, right. You also have to be exorcised by a demon, have a vexed with, be possessed with devil. And here's a context, Matthew 4:24, and his fame went throughout all the Syria, and they brought unto him all the sick people, and were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils. And then it means, now this is interesting, it's only used one time in James, devilish, which is, devilish is demon-like, devilish. And it means the same thing as the previous devil, but it's only found one time. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And then the last one is more religious than others, too superstitious. You get a kick out of where this is, Bill. Acts 17:22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious.
Right. Absolutely. That's what he told them in Acts 17. He said it was even told to them by their poets of old that God is the that we're all offspring of God right there in that chapter. So we're all offspring of God right there. That means you can't be born in sin. One more proof in the Bible, you can't be born in sin. And he says, even by your poets, you should know this, Paul said. The Greek poets at that time, he says, it was even common knowledge in your history that we're all offspring of God.
And
that's where he said in times
all,
past. Go ahead.
All offspring of God are susceptible to demons.
Of course.
Chris's, you know, exactly what is it? Well, it's hard to get your mind around.
Right. I've always thought of the term devil as the mind of Satan. Because it's always spelt with a small d throughout the text. I think two times in the book of Revelation it's spelt with a capital D. But yet Satan's always spelled with a capital S. And I've always kind of thought, and I don't have to be right about this, but I've always perceived that a devil is from the mind of Satan.
And at least during the time pre-cross, you could see who was possessed with the devil.
Right.
You'd perceive it. You'd know it fleshly. You definitely would know that, hey, that guy, I know what his problem is. He's possessed with the devil.
Well, we're told now that everything is genetic, see? That's another thing that this born in sin leads to. It's perfect for Darwinism. It's perfect with Freudism. It's perfect for everything because you're just born into everything. So
you can't possibly
have devils. You're just born that way. Yeah. If homosexual, you're born that way. If it doesn't matter. If you have, it runs in your family and you're born that way. And we've really become, although I do think certain types of things are genetically carried, like, say, for instance, people being cross-eyed or something like that. I think there's a genetic trait there and stuff. But that they've taken that to, like, the nth degree. And morals are not genetic. I don't like using the word morals, but I will for sake of conversation. Your morals are not in any ways genetic. So they can't even been transferred from Adam. Because all you inherited from Adam was genetics. You didn't inherit anything else from Adam. Your soul and your spirit, God breathed life into you and created you and formed you in the womb. You're a creation of God. The only thing you inherited from Adam was his genetics. And morals are not genetic.
That cover it, Chris?
I know the demons are there. I know the demons are there. It's just that, man thinks he can conjure them up. And he's got these formulas for, blood sacrifice and all that stuff.
He doesn't need a formula. He's already given up.
He's not he doesn't need to conjure demons.
He's not in the Ephesians 6 armor. They don't even have to ask. They're there.
They're there, yeah.
But who else is looking to follow his lead? All bad.
So what they have is demons conjuring demons.
Yes.
Hold on one second to answer that.
What was that, Chris? That was a... what forum?
Godlike.
And what did they say in that...
there was a guy that said the demons are having a...
Super Bowl? It's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, the Olympics. Stuff they come up with. They come up with this stuff. And he said, yeah, the demons are probably just rolling on the floor right now watching this thing, you know.
Not funny, but man.
I mean, they got the Phoenix and they got Annie Lennox she looked like something out of oh my gosh, it was unbelievable.
I didn't see it.
Pure evil.
Yes. Celebrating everything fleshly.
Well, that's the beast. It's just everything flesh. It's man in his glory and everything that he can accomplish in his own, abilities. And here we are. This is it.
This is it.
I just see, all I see is this false doctrine. Warning against false teachers and false doctrine in the scripture. That's the thing that is everywhere. That's the message for us today is to take heed that no man deceive you, and it's just all the metaphors of warnings of false teachers. And I see the groups, and I can see something. I'm seeing something a lot clearer today than I was. So I'll share it with you guys.
Well, anybody that's out of the Word of God is susceptible, and it happens so fast.
Yeah,
it's like a. Turn on a light and turn off the light. All of a sudden, it's completely dark.
Yeah, these guys are all trusting in their own understanding.
Yep.
And they're putting a relationship first. The relationship is the big thing. It's like, that's the God.
Yeah. Their beast is formed on the basis of the relationship. Their image of the beast, I mean.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Well, what they would like God to be and what they want all this to be, their image, is based upon their relationship with the world, their relationship with the flesh, their relationship with their wants. That all is what they use to form what they want Jesus to be.
Right. Not my Jesus.
Yeah, not my Jesus, right.
Not my church.
There you go.
I'm going up against some, somebody right now, and it's just, the whole thing is the whole Marxist, social, that's the authority.
Right.
Whatever you do to maintain a relationship is number one.
What do you want to do on current events, Chris? You're loaded.
Oh, Bob, I don't know, buddy.
Let's do an old Watchmen's current events and get loaded.
Yeah, well, it would be, this Romney thing and then this new guy.
How do you see the election at this point? Are you,
I'm thinking they're giving Romney a run at this thing now, man.
It looks very possible that he could have a good chance. That's for sure.
He's a perfect fit.
6 months ago, I didn't think he had any chance. But,
it's just all a matter of what they want, and they'll fix the election and they'll hype up. I realize how they do it. They just hype up the campaigns, and they'll get anybody to believe who wins.
Exactly. And you have actually, you don't even have any proof of who you voted for. Nobody has any proof of who they voted for.
No.
Let's just say that it was in reality. Let's say that it was Obama 50% and Romney 45%. That means at least 45 out of 100 people voted for Romney. So how easily could they just switch that to 47 or 48? And he and nobody would know. See?
Yeah.
And it's you have no proof. What's only really a fool. It's like you have to be a fool to believe in this stuff.
And they just have to, like, grab like they did in Florida with Bush and Kerry, or no, Bush and Gore, Al Gore. And, you know, they just must see, like, one state that they can manipulate, and then that's what they zero in on and do it, you know. And, I mean, Gordon just goes on and on about that, about the elections being rigged since, you know, before, way back in the 1800s.
Well, I believe that they were, absolutely. Yeah, it just makes it hard. It makes it easier when there's not a paper ballot.
It's just all complete nonsense. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The electronic ballot. It's like, are you kidding me? But the
right. It means that you need less awareness to realize that it's rigged.
But this attention on the country and on the politics and the politicians. I mean, this thing's so far gone, and it's just what Bob just said. These people are not reading their Bibles, and they just don't get it. They don't know. They think that their hopetimism is going to get them through, you know. And it just isn't going to work. It's not going to work because, you know, they got to know the ending, and it's not what they think. And no matter how hard they think, it's like they think there's going to be a rapture, so there is. And if you don't think it, if you don't believe it, there won't be for you. You know, that mentality, it's just so absurd the way these people have allowed themselves to be deceived. But they just received not the love of the truth. That received, Bill, last time we talked was so big.
Because
you don't receive the gift of the love of the truth. The
right.
love of the truth is the gift, and it's exactly what you were talking about earlier, the election and the predestination and the love of the truth, and it's all tied to it. And it's, if you don't receive it, then, you know, then you're on your own, and then all the strong delusion comes in.
Absolutely. Cain didn't receive it.
No.
God had not given Cain the ability to receive it, then that makes Cain, God, the author of sin in Cain's situation there. Did God deny obedience to Cain? He gives him a commandment, gives him what to do, and then doesn't give them the ability to respond and to that commandment? Of course not. I mean, that's the full weight of Scripture.
Well, I'll tell you what you're hearing a lot of again is the serpent seed doctrine.
Oh yeah, that's horrible. That
comes from Cain.
Right, it comes from one. It's a certain division of British Israel. Not all of British Israel believes in that, or British Israelism. But there are.
Does it come out of British Israel?
Yes, it does. There's certain.
It does.
Certain sects in British Israelism that believe that doctrine. You know that Dr. Arnold Murray that's on in the mornings for years and years and years. And
oh yeah,
that
uh-huh.
Pastor Murray. He's a British Israelist, and
he
believes that doctrine
on the radio.
Well, he's been on for years and years,
and he's
years.
Got a false doctrine. Are you kidding?
Oh.
Yeah.
And he uses the King James too, and he says there's no rapture. So he, you know, they all got part of it right.
Yeah.
All right.
So but then again, you know, we all got to be careful. Because,
always
you know,
can't point fingers. Wonderful.
What if we're missing something?
But
and we are.
Serpent seed is really bad stuff, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, who would have thought we'd have to know all these things? That you would have to know what serpent seed was, and then you would have to know what rapture was, and then you would have to know what this false doctrine is and that false doctrine, and then you get a hook to the jaw when your palsy that you're kind of study with. Now, he's laying on the canvas, and we're looking down and we're trying to find out, well, you know, the way to Scripture on this, is he right? Is this, you know, this sounds like good news, and he's out.
Yeah.
He went black, pitch black that fast.
But, you know, I haven't had a chance to look at this anymore lately. I've been wanting to study this, but, just somehow, some way, this deception's got to be tied to, unless those days are shortened, because the deception just continues to get deeper and deeper and more intricate, and more intricate. And I haven't tied it to that at all, but I mean, there's something to that.
Do you think that they're like a unification of one false doctrine versus the gospel?
What's
a
that?
A unification of one false doctrine.
Yep, everybody turns to one false gospel.
Well, I could see that as an attempt, possibly. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I guess, you know, it's the New World Order you know, one Babylonian religion is certainly would be a part of that. It's this, you know, they keep them, they allow them to have their diversity, you know, as long as they don't claim exclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing they don't want.
As long as they don't exclaim exclusivity. And yeah, that's a very good way of pointing it. I don't know if that's a word, but I understand what you're saying. And
exclusivity.
I'm sure it probably is a word.
There's a word in there. Yeah. I'm not going to get it out tonight,
right.
But it's in there.
I believe that's true, and that's a good way of pointing it out.
Yeah, and that's the thing that they don't want. That's the one thing that the true remnant, you know, born again body is exclusive.
One gospel.
I mean, we're not arrogant. We know the truth, and we know that there's only one way, and. You know, and it's in the scripture. And if you're not reading and studying yourself to be show yourself approved, you are in very dangerous trouble today because, you know, we have to know this scripture. And when you do know the scripture and what's in there and what the stuff that I'm seeing now, you know, I mean, it's been a couple months now, you know, the absolute understanding of what is actually taking place as far as Satan's authority and that Satan is sitting on the throne. That's what the scripture teaches, that in the end, Satan sits on the throne, showing himself to be God and, you know, ascending above all that is worshipped. I mean, when we really plummet what that verse is saying and understanding what the year of the temple, and, mm-hmm. and it just, you know, this is the thing that happens, see? They don't understand it, so they blow over it. And that's
right.
The problem, you know? Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's not the truth and it doesn't apply to you. But you know, this is the you know, the worshiping the image of the beast mentality, not my Jesus. And here we are today. This is the thing, and it's really hard to get past it. It really is. I can't get past it. I mean, I've been sitting here, you know, for months now, just shaken up. You know, really. I mean, because I know what it's saying. I know what, and I know what's happening. And I mean, you know, and in that article that you sent me about a month ago, Bill, about the. Majority of people that believe they're worshiping Jesus are actually worshiping the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist. They're worshiping the devil living in their heart, masquerading as God because he's, I mean,
right.
Think about it.
Angel of light.
Yeah, I did it for quite some time.
Yeah.
I was very good at it.
But, you know, you'll know them by their fruits. And it's the thing is the fruits today, you know, where's the fruits? These people aren't getting born again. They're not passing a gospel around. They're not passing the gospel message of regenerate power.
No,
anymore.
And they're just what they're doing is injecting leaven. We can now have we can have homosexual marriages now, and we can, you know.
Yeah. But even the church that prides itself in, you know, believing against that, you know, which they still do.
Well, right.
I mean,
most of the church believes against that.
But it still doesn't. You know, it's still the failure to receive the love of the truth is still dominating the minds of these harlot churches. And, you know, it's just really hard to know what to do with it because you see it. You see what the scripture teaches about it. And, you know, I'm just can all these people that are this deceived end up in the lake of fire? I mean, where is the plumb line? You know, and I'm starting to see it, but I'm not ready to teach it yet. But, where's the cutoff?
Yeah.
Really good.
Only the Lord knows your heart.
Only the Lord, right.
It's his judgment, not our judgment.
Yeah.
We're witnessing it.
We testify. A witness comes up to the stand and gives his testimony. He doesn't make the judgment.
I just want to sit in the back. I just know what I know. I don't want to condemn anybody by a witness. I want to do the will of the Lord.
Amen. Well, actually, we're called to do that, though. We are called
to witness. If called, all you have to do is
witness,
tell the
right.
truth. That's
right.
it.
We're
That's
testify
it.
The truth.
It testify the truth, right.
And all our truth is used. God uses the truth that we testify when he passes judgment.
Right.
And that's no one's looking for the coming of the Lord. Nobody. Right. Absolutely nobody.
No.
Not even a glimpse, not even a...
No. They have all got their eyes on this world.
Well, since the fathers fell asleep, all things as though they were.
Do we want to... This is the pre-show?
Well, I thought we should just let it go. We can tack on the beginning.
I forgot we had that capability with Brother Chris.
I can
engineer.
I've been recording, so you know I can clean this thing up.
Good. All good.
Yeah. Well, so let's just go.
Let's take a look at this aspect, Chris, of this false doctrine. Just a flat out, easy to understand. If you were telling a child, you know, what is a false doctrine?
Well, you know, that's a good question.
I would say Milton Green puts it better than as well as anybody that I've ever heard. He says it's a doctrine that does not conform you to godliness. So if they're teaching the rapture, that doctrine does not conform you to godliness.
Yeah.
If they're teaching and I believe he had one of the better assessments of that question that you asked there, Bob. Any doctrine conform you to godliness.
The big common thread too is the scapegoat mentality. It's always somebody else. It's always the Islam or it's the whoever they can lump the blame on to take it away from their own examining their own heart. And that
right.
seems like
and this is even a big snare for those out there that are reporting everything in the world like the Olympics and all that. These guys that are on top of all that and all the evils that's going in the world, and then they can point at all of that.
And it still takes it away from looking at their own heart.
Right. And even if they're right about all those things.
Yeah.
There's no salvation in that.
No. And then it makes you wonder what's the purpose of it. And, I've worked with that, and it's just to expose the fleshly nature.
To a certain degree, I think there's nothing wrong with it. To a certain degree.
No, it's a sign.
But when you're
clear sign.
If you're somebody like Phelps, who is just like his mindset is just into now he's missed he's missed examining himself because he's so focused on the Catholic Church.
Yeah, right. That's
and when you let happens. It go to an extreme degree,
there's an element of value in understanding that as a sign.
I absolutely believe that's true. There is an element of value there, yes.
And then there's something else, too, that there is a real parallel between the physical and then what's happening in the spiritual. And as we're seeing, you see these physical manifestations of, say, for example, British Israel. Mm-hmm. And when you really understand, if hopefully you understand the deception there in the physical and then it points you to the spiritual – and you do understand what really took place with the two sticks and, I've still got a long way to go with understanding the tribes, but I know that the tribes are gathered and that, the tribe of Manasseh, came in. The tribe of Dan is out and I'm really seeing a lot there. I'll share that tonight.
Oh, well, why don't you? I'd love to hear that.
On a spiritual level, and, it's just fantastic. And, cause Dan, the tribe of Dan will judge his people. And this is what he is doing. The tribe of Dan is the serpents, and the serpents are the false teachers. And those false teachers are judging the house of God. Because it's, the false doctrine is the judgment. It's the, come out of her, my people, and don't partake in her iniquities and plagues. Well, the reason we're called out is so we don't partake in the plagues, which these are. The serpents are the plagues, the scorpions are the plagues. The hail is the plague, the water turned to blood, the fountains of living water in the churches that used to flow is flowing blood now. These are the plagues. This is why we should come out. This is why we're called out because we don't partake in these plagues. And these plagues are, the type and shadow of what they did in Egypt, let my people go. And out of these plagues comes the captives are set free that escape, and then we know about escape. And this is the pattern in Revelation. And part of that is the false doctrine, big time, the serpents and scorpions. And I'm just seeing a whole level. And that's the tribe of Dan, the adder by the way, who, bites the heels of the horsemen. And, that's all Dan will judge his people is all taking place in the sixth trumpet. and it's the false teachers. Dan is the tribe of Dan is the, you know, on a spiritual level, is the false teachers in the church.
Right, and this really, world,
you know, totally tied to the beast out of the sea, which is Leviathan, pride, you know, Pharaoh, whose scales are so tightly locked together.
Right.
You know, the pride, and then it's, you know, the other big thing that I'm really starting to see more of is hypocrisy. You know, you see the emphasis on the pride of the leaven is really likened to the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. And oh my gosh, is the hypocrisy just the such a big?
It's over the top, isn't it? I'll tell you, the hypocrisy is they believe that this worldwide movement, worldwide council of churches, what do they call that thing? The CPN, or is that what it is? Or the
Council on National Policy? Yeah.
Yeah, they believe they're spreading the gospel, and what they're spreading is they're spreading pox and disease.
Yeah,
that's the irony, you know, and that's what's going around the world now, masqueraded as a gospel, as a big thing of smallpox.
Wow. And actually, you know, that's the thing we've analyzed before is, you know, Wesley's interpretation of Matthew 13:33. Mm-hmm. And check this out, Bill. And on a level, it comes full circle, and it actually is true. Where Wesley taught that the leaven was the gospel spreading throughout the world, and on one level, it was right, only it was the false gospel. It's the false gospel of leaven, of hypocrisy that is spreading, you know, and that's what, you know, so ironically, he was actually right. He just didn't have the right gospel.
That's
but that,
true.
You know, that's truly what's happened. The whole, you know, the whole loaf is leaven, not part of it. You know, God says the whole loaf is leaven. And, you know, when you see the woman took and hid, I mean, when is any hiding ever good? And when is, you got to understand that the woman is there's the good woman and the bad woman. And, you know, the bad woman is the harlot, the one that has gone into perdition. And, you know, it's just the spiritual language that we've just learned, you know, and we've taught each other and, you know, so much with our time we spent in the third day studies and whatever happened there with the, whatever, you know, we all have to say that we certainly did learn a lot with the metaphoric language that Sue Patterson brought out and stuff. And, you know, I think that way. Now I can just kind of read scripture and, you know, not get every, jot and tittle like I, you know, long to probably spend our whole eternity really understanding the whole scripture, but you read it and you can get it. You just know the message the Lord's given us with these pictures. And, you know, I just praise him for that because it's, you know, it's been the renewing of our minds allowed us to do it where we're not thinking in terms of flesh. We're thinking in terms of spirit.
In Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? ? And in thy name have cast out devils? ? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now these sayings are concerning doctrine, are concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, the account of Jesus Christ, preaching, questions, reasoning, reckon, remove, show, speaker, speech, talk, thing, none of these things move me, tidings, treaties, utterance, work, all towards good of preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now these sayings also are the cause, communication, sayings, the word. So this is the word of God right now in this generation with his word. This is the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's an account. All of these things are pretty simplistic in terms of study your self-approved audience. Everything we're talking about is, you know, pretty basic, but you have to study the gospel. You have to know your Bible. You have to have spiritual recall. You have to know what the doctrines of the demons are. So when a doctrine of demons comes up and you study it, you know the truth. And it's not of you, it's the Lord imparting on you the truth for his faith. Bill?
Amen. The Holy Ghost cannot lie, so prayer to the Father and sincerity for the love of the truth, the Holy Ghost will guide you. And the Holy Ghost will only lead you into truth.
And I just want to interject this too. Think about this. Matthew 8:16. When the even come, so now it's coming to darkness, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Now, is
those are words to live by right now, because this is how we're to live.
But are we not looking at something that you know, the people that were healed see this? They know that pre-tribulation rapture doctrine is false. They know that Calvinism's false, Catholic, Mormon, this, that, and they only follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they don't, they fall into one of those doctrines in the dark. Haven't we seen that over and over, that pattern?
Yeah, it's the pattern.
And that's not pointing fingers at anybody.
No.
We forgive them 70 times 7.
That's right.
And it's not
something about being
them.
Content. You know, we got to be content in the Sabbath rest. And when we're always striving for more, 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 that's what happens.
That is a good point. Yeah, I got to know. And, you know, the open to Pandora's box, you know.
Wait,
I mean, if he's
door.
in the desert, if he's in the secret chambers, you know, believe them not.
It is actually, you know what? Paul addressed that in Acts chapter 17. Was it you were reading just shortly ago from Acts 17, Chris? Paul said
Bob was.
It says there, oh, maybe Bob was, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Paul said they're always looking for something new.
Yeah.
It was like verse 29 there, those Greeks. They're always looking for something new, it said.
Yes.
I don't have the scripture right in front of me, but that was might have
been
looking
after more. Well, 1 Corinthians says that. They look for more wisdom. You know, the Jews require a sign and the Greeks wisdom.
Yeah.
And, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jew a stumbling block and to the Greek foolishness. But to those who are called, it's the power of God.
You know, you're speaking about the emergent church in Wesley, and I think Wesley was one of the ones that had a little more understanding than most of them. This sinner prayer thing started about 500 years ago, and that little email I sent you several days ago.
That was really good. Did you write that?
No, I didn't. I just took that off of an article, the pertinent parts, without having to read the whole thing.
Yeah, that was really excellent.
And it really started with Finney.
Yeah.
It's kind of where you just come up and make some kind of... what's the proper word? Instead of a commitment to Christ, in reality through repentance, you're just making a formal announcement or something. And then Moody, he refined it, and then Billy Sunday really refined it.
Billy Sunday, yeah. I remember.
He was the first one to bring comedy or bring entertainment into the gospel.
In the tent, went in tent revivals.
Yeah,
it was
a
carpetbagger outfit.
Yeah,
and then it finally got to Billy. Well, Billy Graham supposedly got saved at a Billy Sunday revival in 1936, I believe it's.
The thing is, you know, these guys truly probably did encounter the Holy Spirit.
Yes, I agree.
But what happens with it? You know, that what do they do with it? You know,
buy a mansion, make
they
money
get
on it.
By these, William Randolph Hearst, Knights of Malta.
Money changer.
Billy, we got a deal for you. He's thinking it's the Lord's blessing.
Take the deal, Lord, Billy. Take the deal.
Well,
the
we
Lord's
pray that
really
we
bless us now.
If Randolph Hearst came by here, I don't know, you see. We that's why it says in the Lord's Prayer, lead me not into temptation.
They took money.
Absolutely,
rich,
they were led
into
temptation.
Folks.
They were led into temptation.
Yes,
but
yes,
what if somebody come along and offered me $2 million, or $5 million, or $10 million, or $20 million? I wouldn't want that kind of temptation either.
You all have been given enough that you could take, Bill.
Yeah, right. That's true. That 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
That's the problem people don't understand. They're not looking for the Lord first. Should I take this? Should I do this? Well, does the Lord want you to take that? Taking donations, preaching the word of God, is the worst thing that you can have. It's like a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout anything in 40 years that I've seen from just the 15, 20 Catholic churches around every corner that are just these monstrosity buildings to the donation button on some apostate site, it's never been good.
It's never been good. As a matter of fact, of the few sites that I know, the very few sites, 6 or 7, that are really solidly grounded in the Word, they have no donation button.
Yeah.
An audience, you should be aware that the application is greater damnation for leading anyone to any other name but Jesus Christ, to following any other book. If you see a Christian website that's preaching, go read this book, and it's not the Bible, it's a sure sign of apostasy and a reprobate mind.
You know, I had a friend confront me with some stuff I was teaching a couple weeks ago. I was at a camp out from one of the churches that I was involved with, and, you know, I encountered all these church Christians that were just, you know, it was just very sad. But, you know, he just confronted me about adding to the words or taking away from the words, you know, like in Revelation 22, concerning what I was teaching, you know, because of my spiritual point of view. And then, you know, I engaged him in a couple emails. This is a good, dear friend. I mean, I wasn't mm-hmm. being judgmental whatsoever. I was just trying to point it out to him. I just did a quick study on the other Bibles, you know, and my the most obvious one to me is Romans chapter 8 verse 1, where it says, there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And they stop right there. But the King James says, you know, who walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Well, see, that's, you know, if that's not taking away from the Word of God right there.
Exactly. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Only for those walking in the Spirit. Right.
You know, they think that I'm saying I'm a Christian, so I'm not condemned. You know, and then that's the message in this false harlot church that, right. You know, you're so hard on yourself. You know, Jesus loves you. There, you know, there's no condemnation. You're, you know, to those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, there's not, but you better make sure you're in Christ Jesus by walking according to the Spirit.
Which is abiding in the vine, right?
Yeah, so, which is abiding in the vine.
Right, so they they leave that out. It's so easily to leave that out.
You know, so they cut that off, and ironically, they're cut off.
And here it is, Matthew 15:10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which come out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Now this is all bad in terms of, okay, you have an ordinance and a doctrine to follow. And you grow in this ordinance and you grow in this doctrine because no flesh is good. And this is a spiritual doctrine. But as you grow and as you see that you are the holy temple of the Lord, and as you go through the word and study yourself approved, all of a sudden you see what all these other doctrines are doing to people. And
right, they're not conforming people to godliness in the church today. But look at America or Canada here too. It's the same thing. It's just that you have a society that's fallen off of a cliff. We'll go down to the beach and walk down to the beach occasionally, and you'll see men and women with tattoos all over their bodies here.
I know.
And
a fleshly understanding, but it's written, you know, don't mark your body.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't judge people on that. It's not up to me. But I'm just saying stuff that you wouldn't even see 50, 60 years ago.
Exponential function, this is going rapidly bad as far as godliness and ungodliness. So ungodliness to the inhabitants of the earth is now normal.
Right, it's increasing.
So the whole world lieth in wickedness. And this gospel will be preached to the end of the world, and then the end will come. And it comes without observation. Well, by who? Who's not observing? Do you see the end of the world coming? Chris?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bill?
Well, I think we're in that season, for most certainly us.
But who prophesies this audience when it says, you know, prophesy in the name of the Lord? Well, his prophets. If you're a false prophet in Israel in the Old Testament, you were stoned to death. That means if you say it's going to rain tomorrow and it didn't rain, they dragged you out in the middle of the street and stoned you.
It'd be a lot of stoning today.
So it's his prophets that are speaking today. It's all the prophets of the Old Testament transformed at the cross into the New Testament, prophesying of this coming, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And they prophesied of his crucifixion. And they prophesied of his ruling and reigning, which is right now, today. He's ruling right now. He knows every hair on your head. And he's coming back in a like manner. He ascended up into heaven, and he's ascending down.
There's a doctrine right there that doesn't conform people to godliness, this future millennial reign, because it takes away from the fact that the risen Jesus Christ can live within the body of a believer, and he can rule and reign over sin in this life.
Chris?
Amen. I mean, it's always that, you know, getting the attention off of you, off of the, you're the temple. And, you know, it's the classic, the big bomb doctrine of all time is the third temple, the Freemasonic fable.
That's probably got to be one of the big ones, isn't it?
Yeah. And the Antichrist, it's coming, and he's not going to get us because we're Christians, and we're not going to be deceived by that. Well, how do they, and they don't know that they're the temple, and the spirit of Antichrist has been residing in their hearts for, you know, a long time. I mean, but on the other hand, this is the other thing, is the fact that it's all for God's purpose. Because this great apostasy is very integral into God's plan. And it's, I'm going to pull something up here now. In Joel, I was reading this the other day, and it's very profound. I'm hoping I can pull it right up. It's in chapter 2, and it'll just take me 2 seconds to find it. But it's about... you know, the locust army is fulfilling. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his army is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. So, you know, for the day of the Lord is great and terrible, and who can abide it? You know, this army of the Lord that, you know, the harlot church has mistaken for who they're supposed to be, who they are, and they outwardly identify with this army, but they don't study deeply enough to understand that there's two armies. There's the good army and the bad army.
Right.
And because the Lord refers to this as his army, it is his army for his purpose, for he is strong that executeth his word. See, this army is carrying out the word of God for God's purpose. And it's awesome because it's written right there. And it's exactly like what Jesus said to Judas. He goes, do what you have to do. You know, that scripture will be fulfilled. And, you know, very profound.
And it is his army, but it's still done through the auspices of man's free will. God did not ordain that army to be evil, in other words. He didn't just say, right. But there's a lot to believe that way out there.
Yeah, and it's... you know, Satan, the dragon, you know, sitting on his throne, you know, their authority was, they got their authority from the dragon, which is essentially the lies living, you know, that you're believing in your heart. I mean, on a top level. And the more lies they believe is the more power the dragon receives. And that's why today, you know, Satan is so powered up.
Simple explanation, audience. Very simple at the very basic level. So someone is in a waiting on a thousand-year reign for the Lord. They're waiting on the Lord. They believe they're being good courage, and he will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Okay, but they're not in covenant. They're not seeking their salvation. They're waiting. They're not prepared. They're not prepared today.
No.
And they think that their imaginations now have them. And it's told in Romans 1:21, because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So imagine you're a believer in this millennial reign, and it's not even scriptural. And you're following this apostate teacher who's taking your money from your purchasing of his or her materials. And you're listening to all of these doctrines of demons when you're told it is the Word of God. It is the Holy Scriptures. It is written. It is the Word. It is through Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, that this is told. But you're waiting for something that's not even scriptural. And all the analogies that we talked about earlier about these devils, you know, can you get your mind around people being possessed by devils? Can you just imagine that you're surrounded by devils and you're the only one standing? Because that's what it says. 10,000 will fall on your right hand, your left hand. And so far, that is not a jot or tittle has been changed. Bill?
Amen. That's very true. The thousand-year reign. The first question a person has to say, this is in the book of Revelation, and we know that the book of Revelation is symbolic. Written book. It's a very figurative written book. John was taken away in the spirit. He saw the war raging in the spirit all at one time from the cross forward. And so you take something out of the book of Revelation, you can't just take it as a doctrine. Just like taking something out of the book of Psalms that's an expression by David, you can't take that as a didactic doctrine. You have to know when you're reading expressive language or figurative language. So you got to go back and say, well, did Jesus didactically ever teach this doctrine about a thousand years? Or did the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter or did the Apostle James or the Apostle Jude ever didactically teach this? The answer is no.
Uh-uh. So who's preaching it, audience? They're possessed by demons. Now, before the cross, you could see who was possessed by a demon. You could see what was going on with them. It's in the gospel. It's telling you that. Okay, but you have to be reborn to understand this. You have to be doubting Thomas. Blessed are they that don't get to see someone possessed by a demon, but that demon's on your TV set. And you understand that this is something that you can't understand on one level, but you know he's preaching a false doctrine.
Right. And then they come up with two resurrections and two judgments. Well, once again, go back to the didactic teachings of Paul and Jesus and all the apostles. Did Jesus ever speak of two resurrections? No, he didn't. Now, we know we're resurrected in the spirit, yes, and we're born again, and we take part of his resurrection. I'm not speaking of that, though. I'm just speaking of the resurrection on the last day. Jesus never didactically ever spoke but of one thing only, of one resurrection. It's in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. It's in Matthew 13, after the wheat and the tares. It's in Matthew 25, starting in verse 31, and many other places. Jesus only spoke of one resurrection and one judgment. So with this thousand-year reign, now you've got two resurrections and two judgments. And that's because you... Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, they like to plug in the two Gog-Magog wars, too.
Right.
They don't realize they're talking about the same one. But Although I did, you know, there's a physical account of the Gog Magog War, I think, in one of the apocryphal writings, and I can handle that. I can, you know, suppose that, you know, that would be the example for our admonition, you know, upon whom the end of the world has come. So maybe essentially there are the two Gog Magog wars, the physical one, and then the spiritual, which I haven't studied in depth, but I sure have studied the spiritual one. Mm-hmm. But the spiritual one at the end of the age, and then you know the millennial kingdom reign doctrine has another Gog Magog war at the end of the whole thing. Right. They don't realize that you know this is the end, but and then it gets all back to this, Bill, and this is going to be kind of interesting to bounce this off of you. But you know the way that Sue brought out what she did about seeing that the 1,000 years was the tribulation. And, you know, on a level she was right because, you know, we really see the tribulation as the church age and the 1,000-year reign as the church age that the post-cross era up into the time that the bottomless pit is opened, you know, and,
well,
and
Jesus
you know, that's
said,
still in a...
Jesus said, through much tribulation do you enter into the kingdom.
Yeah, and, you know, this is how are you going to tell somebody that was fleeing, you know, the Catholic Church in 500 A.D. About a coming tribulation. You know, you're not. And you just and then, you know, I just thought to myself, I've got a friend who shared some, you know, intimate stuff with him and just, you know, an experience of childhood trauma, you know. And I just thought to myself, how are you going to tell this guy about a tribulation? I mean, we all have this tribulation and it's all for God's purpose because it either – you know, pushes us away from the Lord or draws us to Him. But this tribulation, you know, and it's just this doctrine of the great tribulation, it's, you know, it's very elusive and it's the, you know, the terrible, great and terrible day of the Lord. And there's definitely a finishing up of things, you know, and then, you know, it's still very mysterious.
Well, right.
And
does it mushroom since the time of Cain? You know, Cain
yeah.
First of all, I guess, I don't know, it says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, that in the process of time, so Cain and Abel couldn't be judged until they had the age of accountability came about. But I couldn't say whether Adam and Eve ever had any children during that time, or I don't know. But they very well may have. But that's where it started, and now it's just mushroomed. You know, evil is just mushroomed from that point.
And it's simple. Good,
but there's always been tribulation.
Cain, Abel, wheat,
yeah, it's simple.
Tear, goat, sheep.
Esau, Jacob.
The list is endless of very simple analogies that can be applied to your life personally, where you know that, hey, I'm going to go be a goat. I don't want to be a stubborn goat. I want to be a lamb that's led. Because a lamb needs a shepherd. And you want to follow the good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's really a good analogy right there, isn't it, Bob? A sheep is led to the slaughter. I mean, the sheep is the only animal that lays down to the slaughter without fighting. And, yeah, a goat is a stubborn old goat. Yeah, you know, I mean, what an analogy there. I never saw that before.
Yeah, very good. Yeah,
and
right.
That's the stiff-necked that's the stiff-necked people, you know. And,
exactly right. And, they're stubborn and they're
it's very plain.
They'll sit and chew up anything that comes in.
Yeah.
But
like,
goat
like Sanford and Son.
Yeah. Oh, that guy with the goat next door that.
Oh yeah, the Julio.
Julio.
Oh, was it who it was?
Señor Sanford, no many.
And Esther, but yeah. But yeah, but then you know the thing is, I'm just throwing out my, you know, it's still, and I'll tell you what, you know, as everything that I seek after the Lord, He opens it up, you know, and you know, everybody knows that we've had our, time of separation ourselves too, when Watchman Weekly, you know, split up, and we're kind of coming back together now, having all, you know, looked at what the Lord had for us. I think it was all, you know, a positive experience. You know, Bob and Bill have the, you know, divinely inspired scripture, and you know, I'm doing everything on the sounddoctrine.org website now, and we'll be just sharing our, you know, we the three of us had talked about the, you know, doing a synopsis show, and that's what this is tonight, guys. I mean, we're all just kind of sharing our hearts about what the Lord's showing us. I, you know, see what Bob's been digging into again. It really is a simple, it does get down to that simple formula, you know, good, bad, hot, cold, you know, lukewarm. Well, there's three there, sorry, but, you know, good, it's just, it is very simple. But, yeah. But, you know, when we get to the stuff that we're seeing and, you know, the stuff that the Lord's been opening up to me since this time last year, when we were, this time last year, I think we were in Revelation 11 and, you know, where we ended up segueing out of there. And then when I, you know, seeing this, really the 70 weeks of Daniel and then, the seeing the abomination of desolation and truly the event at the end. And we were talking about that earlier where, you know, the whole church age is the time that the royal priesthood rules and reigns with Christ. I mean, and it's this Christian 101 that's been so twisted by the fables that get in our head and our mindset and they become truth. You know, that's how cunning Satan is. But, you know, when you get down to it, it is all very simple. But you do see the time of the end when the time of the end, you know, that's what Daniel, you know, the last days is the church age. It's the New Testament era. But the time of the end is the time when, you know, the Lord does finish things up. And there's a time when, you know, Satan truly rises to power. You know, I taught, you know, in depth on that for a couple, you know, shows. But the ancient and honorable, you know, that's Satan. He is the head. And the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. And it's, you know, Satan, you know, operating, you know, in lockstep with his false teachers. That is the setting up of the abomination of desolation. You know, it's an event. It's set up, and it's an actual thing that happens when the transgressors come to the full, and you know that's the thing that is clear. That and I'm seeing it. I haven't budged on this since you know last time I taught on it. That it happens twice. You know that Satan was absolutely sitting on his throne. Ascended to the Mount of the Congregation at the time of Christ, at the time of the Herodian kingdom. I see that as the red dragon in Revelation 12. The red is the symbol of Esau, the Edomite kingdom that was running the show at the time of Christ. And then, you know, the deadly wound was inflicted at the cross. And Satan was cast to the earth. And then he, you know, ascends back to his position of authority, his seat of authority, it says in Revelation 13. And how does he ascend? He ascends by, you know, the beast. The beast is the people living in the flesh, believing the lies, giving him his power. So, you know, the beast is the people, the collective body of earth dwellers, the collective body of fleshly-minded people.
Which make up Mystery Babylon.
Which is Mystery Babylon.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's where the beast gets its power from, Mystery Babylon, through the dragon.
And it's the opposite of...
Actually, you made there with the red Esau and King Herod.
I never put all that together. That was, and then it runs again, you know, when that dragon, when the dragon in Revelation 13, well, that's the second run. That's when he ascends back again at the end of the age. And I'm seeing that absolutely clearly. And, you know, I just actually, you know, believe it's happening now.
I never connected
that's this season
with Esau and King Herod being Edomite, and I knew all that, but it took him.
Yeah,
I guess King Herod ascended 1,770 years after Esau sold his birthright. But connected the red part in there, and that wow, that's amazing. Yeah, with the red dragon in the Book of Revelation.
But it's just an observation that I made, and it's, you know, running through Revelation 12 is actually pretty clear, you know, as far as the birth of the man child is really the born again body of believers that, you know, the serpent, makes war with. But, you know, one other thing too I was going to mention, and then I'll let you guys take over again. I'm sorry I'm running on here.
It's all right.
But I just was, okay, you talked about Mystery Babylon, you know, the mother, and then I saw the good counter to that is Jerusalem above, which is the mother of us all, you know, and then Mystery Babylon is the counterfeit mother of us all, which right. Satan has had his way with, and then I'm seeing the daughters of Babylon basically as the you know, the evangelical church, really.
That's exactly who the daughters of the mother are. In fact, Ezekiel 16 says that the mother harlot is all the apostate religions worldwide. It says only the Christian church, only Israel was the daughter of this mother.
Yeah, right. See, yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. And that's confirmed also in, I believe that it's Jeremiah 51:7, if I remember correctly, that Babylon has been a cup in the hand of the Lord.
A gold cup, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Golden cup in the hand of the Lord, yeah.
Well, she falls, and then, you know, this is the thing that the church at large today is trying to do. It's trying to, go against Jeremiah 51, where God says that Babylon, we could have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. You see, but, you know, the way that this, and then, ironically, that army that is executing God's word back in Joel is the exact army that's trying to not, you know, to go against what Jeremiah 51 is saying, because they have a better idea. They've got a better plan to fix Babylon. That's okay, Lord. We'll fix Babylon because we got a really good plan worked out here. You know, we've got, we've got these DVD series and these, you know, churches and the people are just getting so, they're getting so edified by the entertainment and whatever. You know, we've carried on about that before, but this is man. This is the beast. You know, this is the beast out of the earth. You know, this is the church that causes them that dwell on the earth to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed, which is, you know, the dragon that's come back, and the dragon that's basically powered up by people believing his lies and sitting in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. You know, he ascends above all that is worshipped. You know, I mean, think about that for a minute, what that really means. He is ascended above all that is worshipped. And Scripture says that. That is in the Word of God. It has happened. And it's just people don't understand it, so they don't deal with it. And, you know, that's not okay.
And also, we find Luke 21:35. This is how this happens, audience. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth.
Amen. I mean, he tells you why in verse 34 there. Because they're overcharged. Overcharged is a big word. That's all they think about day and night.
Yeah.
With overcharged surfeiting. With surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life.
Yeah.
And
partying, you know, going from a party to a party, from an experience to an experience,
from a degree to a degree.
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah, that's it. You know.
But how do you recognize this? This is very easy, audience. Very easy to recognize. That was me.
Yeah.
Me too.
That was me before too. Redemption.
That's how we know so well. Yeah.
You know, sin no more and go. That was me. Beat up by the Sumerian robbers, that was me. And there's no doubt about it. Undeserving of any of this. Undeserving of the grace to understand the truth. You know, I can understand no flesh is good. That's me.
Amen.
But if you don't have redemption, and you don't have atonement from covenant, it's a snare unto you. Because it happens to all the inhabitants of the earth.
And
that's what the Lord has come to do, is to set the captives free. And he's come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's come to redeem those from the earth. The earth dwellers are the nations, kindred, people, and tongue. And it's
they're
out
in
of
a
those,
snare.
They're in the snare
right now,
and they're the ones that are set free. The one, you know, those that come out of her, that come out of that out of the earth, you know, that are redeemed from the earth. That's the opposite of being an earth dweller, which is a fleshly minded person, and a person that's born again is redeemed from this earth, and you ascend to heaven. That's what it says in Revelation chapter 12.
Right. That's
and it's
right.
a spiritual ascension.
It's a spiritual ascension, right? obviously you're still here in the physical, in this earth, and for sanctification, as it says in John chapter 17, leave them in the world that they be sanctified.
Yeah, and that's the message that is lost today, is the harlot church is doing everything it can do to build the relationship and to mingle, as opposed to sanctification, as opposed to holiness. And, you know, this ongoing discussion concerning relationship as being the authority and the primary objective of the Christian is so far from what Jesus taught. And the problem is it's very tricky, but, you know, this is the dilemma that Christians have to deal with, is that we're commanded to love the neighbor, our neighbors as ourselves, and these are the people that hate us.
When we love. I do. It's easy. It doesn't matter. It's very easy to love your neighbor. You know, because you know you're under grace. You're under grace.
Amen.
You're going through your life, and all of a sudden you have the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What greater thing can you ever imagine? And then, but it's sobering. I mean, you look and say, you know, oh my goodness, how bad is the snares of the inhabitants of the earth? Well, you can't talk to anybody within your town is going to be under some snare. And it's offensive to them.
Yeah, they can't receive.
It's foolishness.
They're unable to receive what you're saying. And, you know, you love them so much, you want to tell them the truth, but they can't receive it. And it's just constant conflict anymore, because everybody's so focused on flesh and on this world, and the things of heaven are just, the kingdom of heaven are just so foreign to the earth dwellers. And it's just it's just perplexing. You know, this is what the Lord said. But I do see clearly in Scripture that there's the portion is brought through the fire. Two parts are cut off and one part are brought through the fire and refined. And I'm seeing this in Revelation 9. I'm going to be teaching on this, you know, pretty soon here. I'm just, you know, I spent so much time on the fifth trumpet, but I'm really seeing the sixth trumpet now clearly. And it's actually the reverse of Revelation 13, where the sixth trumpet is really the beast out of the sea, and the fifth trumpet is the beast out of the earth. And, you know, they're switched in their order in the way the Lord presents it in the Scripture. But it's all there. And, you know, they do truly, you know, work hand in hand. It's hard to separate them. But I'm just going to touch on this. I'm not going to go into it tonight. But the thing I'm really seeing, as far as the separation and as far as who makes it, you know, you got Revelation 9:17. You know, it's the fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these was the third part of men killed. So what's that? Okay, well, let's keep going. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And so here, the fire, smoke, and brimstone issues out of the mouth, and their power is in their mouth and in their tails. I mean, this is so clearly, you know, false doctrine. This is so clearly... Like it says, the ancient and honorable is the head. The prophet that teaches lies, he's the tail. This is Isaiah chapter 9. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they are led, and they that are led by them are destroyed. And, you know, here we are. You know, this is who these are. These are the false teachers in Revelation 9. And we've got a third part of men are killed by these guys. Okay, so, I mean, you know, we've seen clearly that killed is a metaphor. You know, this could, you know, it'll, you know, quite probably, you know, it probably cycles, you know, is that it does work into the physical. But the killed is cut off. The killed is a metaphor for being cut off, being cut out of the vine. By this false doctrine, you know, a third part of these men are cut off. So this is one, you know, one part cut off, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then it says, this is where it goes on in Revelation 9:20. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues. Now, see, these are the plagues here. This is why Jesus says, come out of her, my people, and don't be partaker of her iniquity and plagues. This is the plagues. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. So these are just all the people out there.
Walking in the flesh.
Worshipping their Harley. Worshipping their thing. The things made with hands. Yep. And, it's just so deceptive on so many levels. You know, and they should not worship devils. Here we are, Bob. And they should not worship devils, idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk.
Because
either repented, you know, of their murders, their sorceries, their fornications, and their thefts. So this is the second group of the third. Babylon is divided into three parts. This is the second,
third. There's
two
parts cut off there.
There's two parts cut off. You know, these are the two that don't make it, you know. But then, you know, there's really good news because there's a group that makes it. And this is who we need to strive for.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw, as it were, this is Revelation 15. Now, this is really the beginning of the whole account of the earth dweller dealing with the beast, struggling with the beast, which is, you know, absolutely raging today. And the beast is man. The beast is man, flesh, humanism, and all its... and I say it like this. I say it from the teenage girl listening to the music she shouldn't be listening to Henry Kissinger trying to rule the world. I mean, and everyone in between. That's the beast.
Yep.
And then there's these people that are Revelation 15, 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on a sea of glass, having the harps of God. So there we have it. That's the one that makes it. That's the two parts that are, that's the one part that's brought through the fire, refined. And the fire is also the sea of glass. They're standing on the sea of glass.
Which
the
is
tribulation
peace.
Calmed.
Yep.
Peace. Yes. The sea of glass. And, you know, they've gotten victory over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name. And, you know, this is it. This is who makes it. The people that have victory over the beast, that have victory over humanism and
right.
victory over this
flesh,
force
flesh
that is so.
The victory over the flesh.
And I'm telling you right now, this 2012 Olympic event was like the ultimate outward manifestation of the beast. I mean, it's here. I mean, it's been here. It's basically, I'm actually seeing it as a on a level as the abomination of desolation set up. When you see the abomination standing where it ought not, and this is all the flesh doctrines of man, you know, standing in where it ought not. Where is that? Well, it's a temple of God, and, you know, these professing Christians that are you know, supporting this and following this and absolutely oblivious to the deception that's upon them. And then it works out into the massive physical outworkings on the political layer with this British Israel thing manifesting now, and with the ties to the British throne, Vatican, the nation state of Israel, which is actually the little horn, and the UN, the beast, you know, the diverse fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and then tied to this Mormon thing that, you know, James Lloyd went into that on our last show, and just gigantic. And we see this, this Romney sitting there, poised to be, you know, the next, you know, really, my observations are he's going to make it. I think they're going to put him in. And now he's got a new, Romanist running mate that is, this, the pieces of this fleshly beast puzzle are just so in our face right now. And, it's here. It's right now. And, this is what we're to have victory over. You know, we're not to look to this, this beast system to save us, because it won't. Babylon's not healed. And these guys are trying to heal Babylon.
That's true. They're trying to heal Babylon.
And Babylon can get worse, audience. And
yeah,
tribulation can.
Can
get worse. Yeah, but we have good news in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay, because Revelation 15:1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. It's the last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. So now you continue on in Revelation because we're seeing that. There is definitely reprobate minds, false doctrine. It's likened unto the plagues of Egypt. And in those examples, we have locusts that eat every green thing. And then another wave comes to go into the ground and eat the root.
Yeah.
Revelation 15:8, and the temple, and who's the temple of the Lord? You are, audience, was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Well, that's inner and outer court temple analogies. The time of the Gentiles being trampled. Right now, post-Christ, as our Lord entered into the synagogue where he announced, this is Isaiah 61. Blessed is he that understands. I'm here, and back in his generation. The scribes and Pharisees denied him. And in this generation, the scribes and Pharisees denied him. On a very basic level. You are the holy temple of the Lord. Hear ye him in this generation. Let no man deceive you. Bill?
Amen. Yeah, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses.
Yeah,
It's the same thing happening today. Same thing.
Hey, go on about that. Where was Jannes and Jambres? Well, they're not in Scripture.
They are in the Old Testament. But Paul, I think I could be mistaken. Is that in one of Paul's epistles? Jannes and Jambres. That was when Moses went into the court
that's
of
in
Pharaoh.
Peter. That's Peter. I think it's in Peter. Isn't
okay, it?
It
could be. It could be. When Moses cast down his staff, when he went in to tell Pharaoh the first time to let my people go, and their names are not in the Old Testament, I don't think, but that's who he was speaking of. And Peter, there, Jannes and Jambres were the two sorcerers or magicians that cast down their staffs to oppose Moses. Then, of course, Moses' serpent ate the other two serpents. It's a version of two parts cut off. And then, but eventually even when the plague of lice came, now the magicians came to Pharaoh and saying, look, this is the finger of God. So they finally got it, but Pharaoh still didn't get it. And so he hardened his heart more. But, that's Jannes and Jambres. It's just a representation of the magicians of Pharaoh's court. You see the signature of two right there stands out.
Right.
Sorcerers, bad. Wizards, bad. Witches, bad. I mean, and what does our culture say?
Good.
They're good, yeah.
All good.
No, just bad witches are bad. The good witches are good.
Good Witch of the West.
Children's programming, bad.
Right.
Let's throw some humor in there to desensitize everybody even more. And
they've introduced many, many things through comedy.
Sure they have.
Yeah.
They've desensitized us to it.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, listen, I've been dying to get you to move on. We haven't finished up our Hebrews study or continued on, but you were touching upon Melchizedek and the significance of Melchizedek, something you've seen that it was something that I, wanted to know more about. Can you expound on that? The significance of.
Yeah, this is how I understand it. I might not have all of it. I may just have a part of it, but Jesus Christ did come through the line of David. And he was out of the bowels of David in Luke chapter 3, even though he didn't go through Solomon. He went. There was that seed split when it came out of David. It was Solomon and Nathan. And it was one seed line went through Nathan and one seed line went through Solomon. Well, Jesus was born out of the seed line that came through Nathan.
And that's his royalty. That's his kingship.
Well, no, that's his manhood, actually, believe it or not. The one that the Matthew chapter 1 is the seed line that went through Solomon, which still entitled him to be king. So Joseph's father, or excuse me, Jesus' stepfather, Joseph.
Right,
came,
okay.
He was born from that. So his
How amazing is that? He was adopted.
It's totally amazing. You're right. Totally amazing how God worked all this out. And so he was adopted, which giving Jesus now, he could still be son of man through Nathan, through that seed line, and also be king of the Jews through Solomon's seed line. It's amazing. And
absolutely.
So this is how it's joining one piece of the cross. This makes him the king of Israel. But how does he become the high priest of Israel? It always puzzled me. How does he become? Because those two have got to join together at one on the cross. Because he is the high priest, and he is the king of kings and lord of lords. And he is high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And that goes all the way back to the time of, I guess it's when Salem is mentioned in the Bible back in early Genesis, where right after Abraham, was it after Abraham, if I can remember correctly, was when he like freed Lot from those evil people, and they paid some kind of a tithe to Melchizedek or whatever, and that was Jesus Christ as an angel of the Lord, Melchizedek.
Yeah, I believe that.
And he was, Jesus Christ was made high priest after Melchizedek. I believe it says that in Hebrews chapter 4, maybe?
It's in here, yeah, right.
Yeah, that's, wow. And it's all joined together at the cross, and one, you know, everything was joined into one.
Very important. Just basic milk of scripture. To understand just the basic tenets, uncomplicated if you study it, complicated if you're new audience, just study your Bible. Don't listen to
That's
us.
That's all it is. It becomes so simple.
Don't read any books.
It's too simple.
You know, just read your Bible. You will find edification wherever you go. It doesn't matter where it is. You will be in the truth and you will be fed. And it,
like I've been studying Revelation 9, and all that Revelation 9 is a detailed account of Jesus telling us he'll give us power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing will hurt us. Okay, what did that mean? Well, Revelation 9 tells you exactly what it means from the minute detail you could ever ask for. And that's it. You know, this, the whole book of Revelation is the account of the New Testament church on their trek through the wilderness, escaping captivity, escaping bondage, on their way to the promised land, on their way to freedom.
That's a very good analysis, very good analysis of the book of Revelation.
But they have just taken that thing and turned it into
crazy. 10,000 fleshly commentaries.
Yeah, and it's just... it's just absurd. Then I was thinking today, driving, the argument that we must interpret Scripture literally. Are you crazy? I mean, Jesus said, to just take that mentality is just absurd.
Yeah, right. You're going to see a woman coming out with a big 50-foot woman, like in that movie made in the 1950s, and she's going to have a big...
Yeah.
Cup in her hand, and she's going to have written across her forehead, Mystery Babylon the Great.
Yeah. Yeah, just a simple analogy like a potter and a clayer, whatever. It's all metaphor. It's all pictures.
Right.
But Satan doesn't want you to know that, audience.
There's expression language in the Bible, which is found much in the book, in Psalms. Much of Psalms is expression language.
Yeah.
That's why they take Psalms 51... 4 and 5, totally out of context. When David said, "I was conceived by my mother in sin," and in the womb and all that, see, and they make a didactic doctrine out of that. And David is just, what he's doing is grieving over the sin that he's in, and the whole verse, Psalms 51. And they don't read that in context the way it is. They just take an expression out of Psalms 51 in a half of a verse. And it says, I was born, they also take another one. It says, as soon as I was born, they go wicked and they start speaking lies. Well, what if you want to take that literally, that means the baby, as soon as it comes out of the mother's womb, starts speaking lies. Well, obviously, that's not what he's talking about. He was talking about when he was born, when he became the age of accountability. when he became the age to make a decision, right or wrong, that was where he was birthed. And then he started speaking lies. He chose to go against his conscience. But they don't know expression language. They don't know figurative language or symbolic language or didactic teaching language or literal language. There's about five or six of them in scriptures. And you really need to know when you're, and sometimes there's both. Sometimes there's a literal and a spiritual rendering in the very same verses, as we're quite common with.
Yeah. But it's all a gift from God. You know, to receive the love of the truth is a gift that must be received. And that passion, that desire for the truth comes from the Lord. And it's not something you can figure out. Now, we're listening to a video, and, you know, the guy had some doctrine wrong, but he was talking about the crowbar of intellect. You can't pry this stuff free with a crowbar. You can't pry it free from the scriptures with the crowbar of intellect. You know, and it's just, it has to come from above.
That's a very good term. And was that the gentleman that had the 6, 10, or 12 minutes ones?
Yeah.
He had some very good stuff in there. And actually, really, I had jumped to conclusion, and I had thought in the beginning that he was trying to set a date and stuff, and I realized that I was overreacting. But he did have some very good things to speak in that.
But then he ended up with the serpent seed doctrine, so it kind of threw me for a loop.
Right. That's
whatever.
That's a purely flesh doctrine. Yeah, the serpent seed doctrine, boy. I mean, that's wow.
It's hard to understand. Well, it's those two parts that, you know, we just talked about in 9, you know, Revelation 9, the ones that follow after this false doctrine and the ones that worship things made with hands. And those are the two groups that don't make it. And there's the group that, you know, is brought through the fire, refined, and stands on a sea of glass, on the sea, you know, think about the sea that Peter dealt with.
The serpent seed, what it does is it makes you now born evil. Makes you really with no opportunity to even come to Christ, because you were born out of that serpent seed anyway. And that means that God's judgment now is unrighteous, and he's just going to judge you on something that you had no ability, because they're just anything that goes against the righteousness of God and the full weight of Scripture goes against God's judgment and the full weight of Scripture, goes against God's mercy and the full weight of Scripture. You just know after reading the Bible for X period of time, you just know, you say, wait a minute, this doesn't sound like the God in the Bible.
It's because it's written on your heart.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what it means. Go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
No, I'm finished.
Chris, closing thought?
Yeah, I'm finished too. I just, grateful you guys wanted to get back together tonight. And we're still here, folks. And, you know, I want to thank everybody for all the support, the comments on the Sound Doctrine blog, and I'm sure I speak for Bob and Bill and on their blog, and people questioning what's going on. You know, we kind of closed down the Watchman Weekly site just to keep it simple, and who knows what more we can say. You know, those the shows of warning and what more is there to say? You know, I'm so focused on the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's where my heart is these days. And yeah, there's still warning. I spent some time, you know, opening up what's going on with these Olympics and all that's on Sound Doctrine. And I see on one level it's important, but really, on the other hand, it gets to what Bob was talking about, you know, about, being in Christ and being a sheep, not a goat, you know, not being a stubborn, animal, or you know, being an animal that's willing to be led, and that's pretty clear right there. A picture the Lord gave us, and what we're called to do. But we're gonna just keep going where the Lord leads us, and till next time. This is Chris Ardern saying good night,
Brother Bill.
Oh yes, thank you so much, Chris, Brother Chris, and I always enjoy getting together with the three of us. I've missed this actually. I've missed this for quite some time. To just be able to get together and have a round table like this, because so much you guys both bring out so much insight that it's just reminds me of the old days. So I'm very blessed and very pleased to be here and share with you and learn from both of you.
Always in brotherly love, my brothers. Always in brotherly love. Closing 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. This reprobates is unapproved, that is rejected by implication, worthless, literally or morally, cast away, rejected, reprobate. Revelations 3:10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Very important in closing, audience. Revelations 22:18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto them the plagues, and that's the plagues we were talking about, audience, that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testify of these things, saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Be well, and good night.
Sun's up, looks okay. The world survives into another day, and I'm thinking about eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. About a lion at the door, they weren't half as frightening as they were before, but I'm thinking about eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. Walls, windows, trees, waves coming through, you being me and I'll be in you together in eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. Where it smells so sweet, or down in the valley where the river used to be, I got my mind on eternity.